Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard.
Come on, little background music. It's either that or the thunderstorms.
And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internets is Joe Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
Oh, I'm hiding in my basement after the we got some good-ass storms kicking through the Twin Cities here, and I texted you, about an hour and a half ago, because my interwebs went out, and then they popped up about 7, and then, of course, another batch of storms rolled over Corey's place, because we're, about 15, 20 miles apart? I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
And it knocked out his computer because of power flickering, and now those storms are heading our way. So I figured, rather than listen to thunder, we could listen to classic Space Girl Dance with Raquel Welch.
I'd rather if you were blowing up a balloon.
It probably looks better than it.
Yeah, because
I love Space Girls. Anyways, other than that, not too bad.
We just got done with the 4th of July weekend. There was all sorts of stuff that went on around the Twin Cities and around here.
People were happy blowing up little pieces of their country.
And you got hammered on foreign booze.
It was awesome. But the fun started earlier.
Oh, it did?
It did, because at different times, both Corey and I got to visit for last time our good buddies at Big Brain Comics. Because even as
we talk now... Hold on. That's the
sad music.
I guess that means that they are now
officially
no more.
Closed. Yeah.
When was the last time you went?
Well, I went last Tuesday, which, hang on a second here. I got to get up and move the old calendar into July. That would have been June 28th. And
there you go.
Because they closed on the 2nd of July. And as you already know, this here podcast being recorded slightly after July 4th. So, yeah, I got up and I was just in one of those moods. I actually hit a number of half-price bookstores, and for the most part, I was just picking up stuff that will be selling at the MSP Spring Con next year.
MSP Spring Con?
Yeah. Because as you
it's
know,
it's not time for us to talk about that.
No, it
is
isn't,
it?
Because we got to get through the MSP Fall Comic Con, which will be October 8th, 2016, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Minnesota State Fair Education Building. Advance tickets are on sale now. www.mcbacomiccons.com. And lots of fun stuff. Corey's going to set up there, of course, doing this here live podcast. And what I was going to say is, if you got something you want to donate to the Spring Con and take it off in this here tax year instead of waiting till next year and taking it off last year, you can come by wherever we're set up and just drop it off. Because I know Dana will be there, but since there's no official charity booth set up for the One Day Wonder, I want people to know we'll still take stuff, you know, that you want to donate. And I found some pretty cool stuff.
Not only will I be there, we will be live podcasting again.
Because Corey's nuts. I think he'll learn
the
first time.
He isn't that bad.
Why do I care? I'm going to disappear within a few minutes anyways.
Yeah, I know that.
And
that's
I'll probably have a prize for whoever counts out how many times I walk past the podcast. Because Matthew Guy won one last time. So, anyway.
That's not our only convention, Joe.
I know. What else we got coming up?
First, guess what? We're going to be guests at LionCon. LionCon is Central Minnesota's premier convention. It will be held August 27, 2016 at the River's Edge Convention Center in St. Cloud, Minnesota. It is a geek convention geared toward bringing the gaming and countercultures together right in our own backyard, all the while promoting fun community and showcasing new and exciting products. Like Follow, subscribe, share, and invite for all the breaking news on LionCon 2016 at their Facebook page. Just put it LionCon 2016. It is from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., and we're going to be live podcasting there. But that's not all.
It isn't?
Nope. Exciting news going on, Joe.
Very exciting.
Oh, well, do you remember when we went and saw the Deadpool?
Yep.
And what was going on that Saturday that it was far too late for us to show up at?
I have no idea. All I remember is Deadpool.
BlizzardCon.
Ooh.
Blizzard World.
Yep.
Well, they're doing it again. They're doing it August 6th at the MTS Charter Schools at 2872 26th Avenue South, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we're going to be there.
Well, we'll talk about that in freaking.
10 a.m. to 5 p.m. live podcasting. Myself, Jen Wicked, and maybe some other folk will be showing up. Joe might not be there the way it sounds.
Well, I might not either be at FrankieCon 3, which is Saturday, July 23rd.
Have we been invited to that?
No, but our good buddy Adam Vermillion from Pianos and Pizzas is. That's going to be at the, why not?
Pianos and Pizza.
Pianos
I
and
can't
pizza.
Wait to listen to that podcast.
That would be an awesome podcast. But
Billy
well,
Joel
he's
talking
kind
about
of a,
pizza.
He's kind of a wuss. He just does pizza instead of hauling his piano around. That would be, you know, you should talk to the piano man, see about doing that. But FrankieCon 3 is at Frankie's Chicago-style restaurant and bar. And it's going to have, it's Saturday, July 23rd, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Adam will be there, Dave Wheeler, Brock Buchamp. I can't tell if that's an H or a K. Let's say it's a K. Katie Hex. Nope. Very, very poor printing on this. Katie. Yeah, very small. I mean, I can't tell if it's an R or a K or what. Yohei Studios will be there, Toy Store 54, and more. But, well, we'll talk about that in geeking.
Well, I one last thing about the Lion Con.
You're lying.
No, I'm not.
There's never just one last thing about Lion Con.
There is.
There may be the last thing you're going to cover today, but there's always something else going on.
How would you, as one of our listeners, like to go? And you're saying to yourself, well, Corey, the tickets are $25 each. Of course I'm going to go, but boy, that's going to put a dent in my wallet. The first person to email the show at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com is going to get a pair of free tickets.
Oh,
Joe, you don't get the free tickets.
Damn. Never mind.
So there's all of our appearances.
All of our cons for now.
If you've got a convention that you'd like us to show up at, just email us, solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. We will show up. We will live podcast. I will talk as long as I have to. Who knows? We might even interview people who are there when I get tired of talking to myself.
Back
but
on, where were we? July, June? I don't know. It's all the same.
We're in July, but right. You were in late June.
You're right, because I was a Tuesday. I was bored. I didn't feel like eBaying anything, so I just did a self-geekathon, and I hit
all
three.
By yourself.
I hit three half-price books,
he's gonna be.
And I also visited Big Brain for the last time. At half price, I picked up a couple cool things. Marvel Comics, The Untold Story. Paperback edition. I've heard you ranting and raving about it. So
is that the one by Sean Howe?
Yep.
Oh, that's a great book.
I figure I'll pick up this one. I read the other one. It was about more from the business end of the two guys were able to pull one over on Ron Perlman and Carl Icahn and take control of Marvel Comics from those guys after they bankrupted them. I found a book from Dark Horse.
Carl Icahn, by the way, real close friend to Donald Trump.
Of course. Eisner,
that should be scared.
Eisner Miller, interviews conducted by Charles Brownstein, and this was from Dark Horse. So these are from Half Price Books, so I got a pretty good deal on them. But then, for the last time ever, I stopped in at big brain comics. And I know Corey and I were talking last podcast about, you know, I was thinking of picking up the Peanuts books I'm missing, but to truth be told, I don't know which ones I'm missing because a bunch of them are in boxes, and I hate to spend that type of money and pick them up. We talked about the Little Abner stuff, and I just, you know, I spent some time, I wandered through everything, and what I did buy, I picked up Noble Causes Archives, Volume 2.
Ah, do you have Volume 1?
I do. And Noble Causes is from Jay Faber, out of
Faber,
published through Image. It's, and I'll read again from our good buddies at Atomic Avenue, more of a soap opera about superheroes than a team superhero book, Noble Causes follows the triumphs and tribulations of the Noble family. No ordinary family, though. They're all famous superpower beings celebrated and sometimes reviled in the media with tons of merchandising, corporate tie-ins, and the Hollywood-style star status. They're kind of like the Kennedys, a new American royalty. And, of course, they have scandal, heartache, even a few moments of genuine nobility. In the first volume, they covered the tragic murder of someone in the Noble family, and it kind of went all the way through, and I forget how many issues it covered, and then at the end it was almost like it was a reset. And then, of course, that brings us into Volume 2. What I do remember reading Volume 1 is that it was done on the newsprint type, kind of like the way Cerebus is, and I remember getting a lot of the ink on my hands. But now I got Volume 2, and I'll read it eventually. I picked up, again from Image, Maximum Minimum Wage by Bob Fingerman.
Ah, yes.
And we've talked about minimum wage in the past because he just finished up a miniseries. This is the original story. I believe this is Fan Graphics. No, this is the Image reprint. But originally, a Minimum Wage was a Fan Graphics book, and it's a story. Rob Hoffman, a struggling New York City artist who tries to make a living as a porno mag comic artist, and kind of a slice of life type thing. Just awesome stuff by Bob Fingerman. I have picked up, and I believe this one is Fan Graphics, the Popeye, which was an oversized, almost treasury-sized edition reprint of the various comic strips. And I only picked up three. Could you hear that on the mic?
Yes.
That was very close lightning. Anyways,
they're coming to get you.
Yeah, it's the storm that left your place. And I'm looking over on my thing here, and I got P-O-P, and I got one of the letter E's. And, of course, E-Y-E, the last one. And he had a bunch of other ones there, but I only picked up this particular one. Just for shits and giggles, I picked up the hardcover Alex, The Years Have Pants, a life-size omnibus by Eddie Campbell. He had both the trade paperback and the hardcover, and I figure since everything was half price, I'd go with the very sharp-looking hardcover. Brilliantly observed and profoundly expressed, the Alex stories present a version of Eddie's own life, filtered through the alter ego of Alec McGarry. And if you've read anything by Eddie Campbell, or if you haven't, go out and do so, because this is some good stuff. And the last one I'm going to save, I'll talk about when we get to Eeking. With Pianos and Pizzas.
Here we go. You're talking about Eeking, and we don't even have the lovely and talented Jim Wicked, who's well known for her love of rats.
Yeah, but I'm going to save the last book I picked up for another very close call. If I suddenly disappear at this year webcast, we'll know why. Anyways, I'll save the book.
And if the lightning hits you, maybe you'll turn into Captain Marvel.
It could be. You know what? I got a bunch of chemicals over here. Maybe I'll just douse myself. Go run around outside. I spent most of the afternoon, you know, like I said, I picked up a lot of stuff for the charity booth and picked up a few things for myself. And again, as want, there were more things that I probably wanted that I didn't pick up. But that's just the way it goes. You know, you got to kind of limit yourself and hope the next time you visit, well, with the exception of Big Brain, Half Price Books, that it'll be there. Plus, they're having a tent sale, although they may have had it over the weekend. I don't remember. It's a lot of pressure. And then I texted my good buddy Corey and let him know that stuff was 50% off. Did you ever pick up that Mr. X Deluxe thing I saw the first time I visited?
It is not there now.
Yeah, I looked.
It was not there when I went.
I looked. It was I think it was the hardcover from.
Yep.
Although I did see at one of the Half Price Books for $80, the $150 signed limited one. If you're so inclined to go that far,
I am not.
I'm not either.
Now I went on Saturday, but Saturday was a busy day for me because I worked the group home in the morning, and then that afternoon I was supposed to meet a fellow podcaster for the first time.
Ooh,
Joe, have I told you about the Wrestle Crap Radio?
On and off.
Wrestle Crap Radio is one of our inspirations. They are one of the podcasts that I listened to before we started this here podcast. I have stolen shamelessly from them, including for a while when they were no longer Wrestle Crap Radio, when they were just the Blade and RD show and they didn't have sound effects and anything. The Crickets migrated over here. And then when they started Wrestle Crap Radio up again and had the Crickets, we sent the Crickets on their way. We tried to do a storyline, and then you and Jim destroyed the storyline by poking holes in it.
But anyway, a person, you know.
Anyway, Blade Braxton came to Minnesota to see a reunion of a band that he really enjoys and I know nothing about, named Flip. They performed at First Avenue. So we planned to meet up, and I was going to buy him lunch. So I got off work, and when we started, the plan was for me to buy him lunch at a place in Eden Prairie. There are a few around the Twin Cities called Punch Pizza. Joe, you've been to the Punch Pizza,
I've
right?
I've been.
It's some of the best pizza in the whole known universe, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, as I was on my way there, I get a text from Blade. Well, I'm driving. I can't. And so when I get to the Punch Pizza, I get out my phone, and I look, and he says, buddy, I'm meeting up with a couple friends. They want to meet at IHOP. Now, my first suggestion for Blade and I to have lunch was at the Hilo Diner. Jen and I had gone to the Hilo Diner. It's a very cool, it's an old dining car that they brought from Philadelphia, put in Minneapolis. They serve incredible food. They have a full bar. And he was, no, my friend wants to get pizza. So that's when I said we'd meet at Punch Pizza outside the Eden Prairie Center. And he, nope, my friends want to meet up at IHOP, but I still want to get this pizza. So when I get done at IHOP, I'll let you know. Well, I'm already in Eden Prairie, but the good thing is I got comics in my car. So I actually go to one of the parks by the lake in Eden Prairie and just read comic books while waiting for Blade to finish up all the stuff he's doing. And it was a beautiful day. I didn't have to work.
Yelling at that kid who's still on the escalator?
No, that's later.
Oh, good. Someone's got to get that rat bastard off that escalator.
And then a couple hours later, I get a message from him that he is on his way, but there's a thrift store. Blade Braxton collects VHS tapes, especially horror VHS tapes, and 8-track tapes. Not ironically, he listens to them. So he's like, I'll be there in a bit. And so I pack up my stuff, and I start driving, and he says, why don't we meet at the Eden Prairie Mall instead, and then we'll grab pizza afterward. Okay, fine. Now, at this point, Joe, I haven't eaten all day. And it's getting to be about 1 o'clock. So I get to the Eden Prairie Mall. He said he's going to meet me there, but he's going to hit the thrift store. So I figure, I'll just kind of wander around in Barnes & Noble. You've been with me at the Barnes & Noble. I could be in there for about an hour, right?
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah, I was there for a little over an hour. Was so hungry that I finally just, okay, I'm just going to get like a muffin And Blade still hasn't texted me, so it's like, okay, fine. Yeah, so we were supposed to meet at 10:30. It's now getting around 2. He texts me, says, okay, I'm at the Eden Prairie Mall. Where should we meet? And I said, well, let's meet at the Sears because that's where the theater is, blah, 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 blah. And we go in, and I got to tell you what, it was like he reminded me of hanging out with Butch. Just a happy guy, loves his geeky stuff. It was like hanging out with an old friend, except I'd never met him before. He wanted the tour of the Eden Prairie Center, where they, all the Mallrat stuff was filmed, and they have completely remodeled that mall. So I took him, I said, okay, here's where the food court used to be. As you can see now, they've just kind of put a floor over it. The escalators that were in the movie have been taken out, so that kid finally got off the escalator, because the escalators are no longer there. I told my, I think I've told it about 100 times here on this here podcast about how I was an extra on Mallrats and met Stan Lee. And, you know, we do the tour, and we're getting ready to go eat, and he sees that there's a Sbarro's in the mall. And he says, and I quote, dude, you've got Sbarro's? They got rid of all the Sbarro's down in Kansas City. This is where we're eating. That's right, Joe. Blade Braxton chose Sbarro's over Punch Pizza. And despite that, I'm still friends with them.
The only Sbarro's I ever had that was worth anything was when I was actually in New York.
The only Sbarro's I ever had that was ever worth anything was when I was at the movie theater, and I was supposed to be there for a six-hour shift, and so many people called in sick that I was there for a 14-hour shift, and I got a half-hour lunch, and Sbarro's was the only thing that was still open that late at night. That's the only time Sbarro's was ever worth anything. It was either that or just a whole bunch of popcorn.
Popcorn.
Yeah, you burn out on popcorn working at a movie theater.
Not if you have Chicago-style pizzas.
Yeah, they didn't have that.
Oh, them bums.
It's Sbarro. Come on, they've got supposed New York pizza, and it's, okay, it's Wonder Bread, ketchup, and the cheapest cheese you can imagine.
Cheap cheese.
But from there, I drive downtown after, you know, we get a bunch of pictures, including one that is my profile picture on the Facebook right now, where we recreate one of the publicity poses for Mallrats, where he's Brody. He's like, well, where's the Eden Prairie Center sign? Oh, yeah, they got rid of that. This is where it used to be. And I go down to Big Brain. And how long have they been having this going out of business sale?
I don't know. The news hit a couple months ago. I mean, it kind of worked as a rumor, and then it hit city pages. And they've been doing like a discount sale, I think, the last couple months.
It was the last day. Everything was still 50%, and they were still... I mean, the shelves were still packed.
Yeah.
I picked up, I picked up the first two Barnaby reprints. I picked up some Kirby books I did not have. I picked up The Strange World of Your Dreams, which reprints that very obscure Kirby series. Simon and Kirby Super Heroes, which normally I would not have bought because I've already got the Fighting American hardcover. And this is a 600-page book, but almost 300 pages of it is all of the Fightin' American stories. So, you know, you're double-dipping. But at half price, you know, hey.
Hey.
Got to do it. Let's see, the Jack Kirby Omnibus, four or five different essentials. Then a whole stack of just regular trades, including one Chase, which I remember when the comic Chase came out, and I was like, why are they putting this book out? I don't know this character. Nobody knows this character. It's really weird. And they haven't used the character since, but I picked it up because it was plotted and drawn by J.H. Williams III, who recently did Batwoman, also did Promethea. Back then, nobody knew who he was. Now, we know who he is.
Did he do more than one Promethea?
Yeah, he did all 12
issues.
So
he did all Prometheus.
I'm sorry.
He did all Prometheus.
Yeah, he did them all.
Yes.
So, I spent way too much money.
I know that feeling.
I had like, and the thing was here, I'm bringing out two big grocery bags that not just regular, I mean with the handles, you know, the ones that have the twine handles, carrying two big grocery bags out of there. And, you know, it's, oh, it's Saturday off. I should go do something. And, are you kidding? I looked at how much money I spent and how I'd been away from home. Basically, I came home, showered, and left from, you know, leaving. And it's, no, I'm going to go home and I'm going to read funny books. And I just got home and I sat on my deck and I read funny books because Box Day had come. I had the new previews. I have... The stack of comics from this weekend is monstrously huge.
I did talk to the owner of Big Brain before he decided to close the door that Tuesday, and I told him, you know, I understand why you're closing. I mean, I read the City Pages article that you're tired. I said, you know, I used to own Hot Comics, so I understand. You know, it's just you get weary of it. I did thank him for... you know, treating my daughters nice when they came shopping. Even Dana says it was just something about shopping there she enjoyed. I mean, she wasn't condescended to. They didn't, you know, hey, look, a girl. You know, she said they were just really cool with it.
You could tell that the owner was exhausted when I was there because I thanked him as well and said, you know, I worked in comics retail. I understand 20 years is a long time. He's like, yep. 20 years, it's a hell of a long time. another way you could tell he just didn't care anymore, they were playing, I'm not going to say it's gangsta rap, but they were playing hip-hop rap music in the store, and it's the kind that you would not be able to play on broadcast radio because of the language.
Mm.
And he just, you know, it's like, F this, F that, F this, F this. Oh, he don't care. What's somebody going to do? They complain. He'll
I'm
go,
closing.
Well, fine, I'll shut the store down.
Yeah, fine, I'll shut it down for you. Close it down, lock her up.
But I wonder what he's going to do with all the books.
Well,
because
I did put in a, I said, I know you, people are probably trying to bottom feed on you, but if you ever get stuff that you're just stuck with and you don't know what to do with, I said, I help run the MCBA charity booth. And he kind of, I hadn't thought of that. And I just told him, yeah, you know, I got stuff in my garage from when I closed 15 years ago, and I'll just donate it. They're more than happy to take it. So maybe we might see him again. He did say he's got some plans. You know, we talked a little bit. You know, I told him I was able to at least sell my store. I said, not that it mattered. It doesn't exist anymore because the owners ran it into the ground. And he said there were certain things he was looking at that, you know, if he had the energy, he would have worked and transformed the shop. I have to assume he's talking online type thing because that seems to be where a lot of stuff is. Well, you said 20 years is a long time.
And they've never had a good online presence. If you go to their Facebook page, there's not even a note that they are closing.
Well, it's not even a page. It's more like someone said, hey, I've been a Big Brain. You know, I don't think they actually do it.
And if you go to the Big Brain website, the blog has not been updated in forever.
Yeah. Hey, who is the biggest known singer in the known universe?
Right now?
Yeah, she's in town, too.
Probably Adele.
Yep. Did you know she hung out at the Hilo Diner on the 4th of July?
No, but that does not surprise me.
That is so cool.
That's a great place.
I know. I've been meaning to get there.
You need to go.
Did you know that Netflix reached a deal to have an exclusive for CW, Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, and possibly more?
I did know that. I also know that they have re-added all the Star Trek stuff.
Oh, I know.
Every Star Trek movie, series, including the animated series, they had lost them for a while, but they have them back
now. Well, they always had the regular series, not the animated, and they had the movies, which they took off as the 1st of July, but if they're back, that's way cool. Are you ready?
All Star Trek series, including Enterprise, and from what I hear, the fourth season of Enterprise, they brought in a new showrunner who basically looked at the first three and said, yeah, that sucked, we gotta fix that.
And it didn't.
Well,
although they were talking
by
about...
By then it was too late, but I'm thinking... Maybe I'll watch it, because I gave up in the middle of the first season.
That's not the season they go after it was some race that like took a preemptive shot at Earth, and so they sent the Enterprise out to confront these guys.
I don't know anything about it other than I read an article where they said the temporal Cold War that had been talked about, they said, yeah, we've been talking about it and nothing has happened. So they did a two-parter at the beginning of the series to fix that.
Yeah. That's the season before.
Okay. And they said that there were continuity errors with the Klingons and the Romulans and the Vulcans, and they did stories to fix those.
They did one that was kind of interesting. I don't know if you remember the I can't think of it. The Tholian Web?
Yes.
They deal with that Enterprise because it landed up back in time. And I don't want to say too much about it because it's kind of a fun episode to watch. But that was really kind of a neat little tie-in. Well, had they gone into the fifth season, the rumor was they were going to actually start delving into the Romulan War, which they probably should have done on the fourth season, but...
They probably should have done in the first season.
Yeah, there's a lot of things they should have done.
Usually the first, other than the original series, the first season of any Star Trek series is not worth watching.
Yeah, it gets painful.
Next Generation was really bad. Deep Space Nine, I remember watching it going, wow, they are just treading water.
Yeah, they didn't really get a chance to get their feet wet. Even Voyager was that way. You watch them and they're like, oh, this is harsh.
But... Okay, Joe.
Well, wait.
Of the Star Trek series, which is your favorite?
I would have to say Next Generation, because much as I love the original series, I was excited when the Star Trek movies came out. I was excited, I remember, when the Star Trek animated came out, and then I was kind of like, Filmation, animation. So the Next Gen, I have to say, was really it. Because I watched most of it. Deep Space Nine, I kind of watched here and there. You know, when something interesting was going on, I'd watch it. Voyager, I watched, and I really got into Voyager more than Deep Space Nine because it wasn't tied into any continuity. It was the closest thing to the Next Generation. I'm sorry. The closest thing to the original series that we had had in a long time, because they were somewhere strange, and they were exploring, and they had a goal to try to get home. Although the one thing that really bothered me, and I don't know how much of Voyager you watched.
I watched it all.
Oh, why the fuck didn't they just blow those Kazons out of the goddamn water? I mean, for the amount of times those knuckleheaded idiots screwed with the Voyager, I'd have been like, you know what? As a Federation rep, we are at war. If you do anything else... But, you know, that's Star Trek. You know, they're always like, Kazon's coming. Oh, Ray's shield. No, Kazon's coming. Hey, armed photons. We're blowing this bastard out of the water. I don't care. But it's not the Federation way. Even the Enterprise fell into that trap when I was watching the third season, because, as I mentioned before, and I'm not going to bother looking up, but the Earth got preempted by a super weapon from a race that basically put a huge scar from like Washington through Florida down through Cuba, killed millions of people. And so they sent the Enterprise off to deal with it. Even in the middle of that intense storyline, they had to stop and have what I call a Star Trek nothing story. Now, Deep Space Nine did the same thing. It was like in the middle of the war, they just retook Deep Space Nine after losing him. I mean, a beautiful scene where, you know, The bad guys come swarming through Deep Space Nine, and they get to the Sisko's office, and there's a baseball sitting there. And they're like, what is that? It's a message. What? Sisko's saying, he'll be back. And now you're like, and of course, next season, they're back within two episodes, maybe three. And then they have just, oh, well, we're in the middle of a big war, so let's just have a, oh, fun on the holodeck issue. I don't know. As I watch this, when I was on the road, and I might have even talked about it on our podcast, I would just do two things. Okay, I had Netflix queued up. I had the Star Trek Wikipedia queued up. I would read what the story was about. They never really gave a lot of spoilers, so I know which ones had to do with the Dominion War or had to do with the big war in Enterprise, and which ones were just like, oh, these are kind of fill-in fluffy ones, you know. not all of them were bad. I mean, the trouble with Tribbles tribute was during the war, just kind of.
That might have been my favorite Star Trek episode of all time.
And I think I
of told all
you
series.
About talking to David Gerrold when I was in Vegas and asking him about that and how much he was involved. And he was involved quite a lot with that episode, which was really kind of neat. And then, of course, I also asked him about my favorite series, Land of the Lost. And I've covered that all in a podcast. I'm not going to tell you which one because you have to go look for it. Can't retro tray them all. So, yeah, no, I'm happy to hear that. Now, Corey, if you take Young Cyclops, Miss Marvel, Nova, Cho-Hulk, Milo Spider-Man, and Vision's daughter, what would you possibly call them?
Young Avengers?
How about the Champions?
Can't do that.
They can.
What?
Marvel Comics and Hero Publishing have entered into a joint agreement that they will allow for the publication of a Marvel's Champion comic book, while at the same time allowing Heroic to continue publishing its own line of separate Champions-related titles. So that is courtesy of Bleeding Cool.
Oh, wow. I did not hear
that. Yeah, Rich Johnson posted that one, which I think is really cool. Not because I necessarily need another Marvel comic to read, but there may be hope yet for Ultraverse. Because I keep hearing rumblings, like, I think someone at Disney higher up than Marvel is like, wow, why aren't we using these characters? Oh, well, that's Ultraverse. We can't do that. Which I don't buy, because if Marvel could untangle Miracle Man, Ultraverse should be a piece of cake, unless they just don't want to, you know, give a piece of the cake to the creators. Which, you know, judging by this heroic agreement, that might not be an issue as much as we think.
Well, we'll see. Interesting.
So good news there.
Yeah, my favorite Star Trek series, I loved Deep Space Nine. And the reason I loved it so much was because it used the Star Trek universe in a different way than any other series.
Yes. I do like the fact that they did something which I absolutely love. You know, I call it the Babylon 5 thing, where they actually had an overall story arc that went somewhere. It showed kind of the nitty-gritty of Star Trek, something I'm sure Gene Roddenberry would not have dug had he been alive.
I don't think so either. And the other thing that I really liked about it was that the characters were flawed.
Yes.
You had all sorts of interesting alien cultures involved that really felt like alien cultures, whereas other Star Trek series, the alien cultures felt like commentary on Earth. But Odo's shapeshifters race thought differently from humans. They had different they were actual alien. The planet that Deep Space Nine was near felt very much like an occupied country during wartime, and there were, in a lot of ways, there were a lot of parallels to Israel during the 40s and 50s.
Don't you remember, why can't I think of her name, chewing out the doctor? Because he's, I'm on the frontier. What are you talking about, frontier? This is my home.
Yes.
Yes, that was a beautiful exchange.
Absolutely adored that. I thought it was great. And it was a political series, much more than a military or a exploration series. The one I didn't like is Enterprise. I remember tapping out. You know, halfway through the first season, I was dating a woman, and I was visiting her in Canada, and it was Wednesday night, and we were, you know, basically I was staying with her for a few days, and we didn't have anything to do Wednesday night, and it was like, okay, well, let's just watch TV, and we turn it on. And about a half hour into it, she's like, ugh, I really don't like this Star Trek stuff, and da-da-da. And she was explaining why she didn't like what we were watching. And I said, yeah, I completely agree with you. This is boring. Star Trek should never be boring. It should be about something.
Well, and the first thing they did wrong is when they didn't even put Star Trek in the name. They were like, it's going to be a Star Trek series, but we're going to kind of get away from that to try to attract people to it. Which was really weird. And then, of course, in the fourth season, they put Star Trek back. But by that time, I think everybody had checked out.
Yeah. And the other thing was that none of the characters made an impression. The only character I could tell you about is the Quantum Leap guy.
Oh, no. I like the Vulcan chick just because they spent a lot of time watching her put that desanitizing gel on her body.
But tell me about her. What's her personality like?
She's not very logical.
There you go.
I do got to say, crickets. I did like why can't I think of the guys with the antenna? Androdnians?
I don't know.
You don't remember the antenna guys on Star Trek?
I don't remember their names.
Well, anyways, the guy who played one of the clone guys that served the founders on Deep Space Nine, he played like a reoccurring character in that of that race. And the whole gist of the storyline was is that the Vulcans didn't trust the Earthlings. The Earthlings said, you know, screw you, we're going out in the galaxy anyways. And the Vulcans and the Andronians had a war on each other. And eventually it was, I know, the Vulcans, Andronians, humans, they're the ones who set up the Federation. Might have been a fourth race in there, but I don't know if they ever introduced them. And again, if it was one of those things, like if it didn't appear on the TV show, it wasn't canon. Frank Cannon, banned from the petting zoo.
That's
what happens when you inject human DNA into a goat. You get banned from the petting zoo.
You shouldn't do that.
Nope.
So
you said Box Day.
Yeah, Box Day.
Let's should we cover some Box Day?
Sure.
Let's see, where's my pile of box? I can do this one of two ways. I can just talk about the stuff I was super excited and that I've got piled up behind me, or I can launch into the DC Rebirth books that I read.
Why don't you talk about the DC Rebirth books you read, because we're almost at an hour.
Holy cow. Well, I'll give what I call the 10-second review here. Because basically, I had these organized, but of course during the storm, I just kind of changed everything. So basically, I picked the books out, I put them aside, I read the Rebirth issue, and then the number one. So I kind of got a good feeling to what it was like. Wonder Woman Rebirth, and again, this is based off two issues, the number one, the Rebirth issue, and then the actual number one of the series. Interesting storyline, good art. Not quite sure where they're going with it. Caught my attention. Superman, which also delved into action, and I'd actually gotten two actions along with this. So this is Superman Rebirth, Superman number one, and Action 957 and 958. This is the, what do we call it, Earth One Superman? Somehow, I didn't read the storyline.
Earth One.
I didn't read Superman?
Post-Crisis.
Superman Lois Lane, this series before Rebirth, talked about him coming over and what he was doing. Near as I can tell, they got Superman, Lois, and their super son. And this is basically Superman deciding to come out behind the shadows and take up the mantle. In action, he confronts Lex Luthor. And, of course, A lot of what I've been complaining about the whole time is everybody's so distrustful of Luthor, and you know, Superman's basically decides, you know what, I'm not letting him wear a Superman logo, and you'll read the rest for that. Flash was pretty cool because it deals a lot with the DC Rebirth issue where we're not quite sure what's going on, but something's going on, and so that one I thought was interesting. Aquaman almost lost me because they're using, oh, what's the guy's name? Black Manta. I find his character boring. You killed my father. I'm going to kill you. I mean, come on. He's more interesting in Super Friends, and Super Friends wasn't that interesting. But the concept's interesting because he's trying to do an an embassy between the surface world and Atlantis. So I kind of like that. I'd like to see where they go with that. Titans Rebirth was just the rebirth issue, not the number one. And this one deals closely with everybody forgetting Wally West. So I'm going to see where that goes with the number one. Batman Rebirth, I didn't really like. I don't know what it...
Really?
I
now, is it the rebirth with Calendar Man?
Yeah, that and the...
Loved it because Calendar Man was creepy as hell.
It just didn't do it for me. But when I read the Batman Detective, where he's kind of setting up everybody to as a army, that actually kind of caught my eye. I think I'll follow along with that. Green Arrow Rebirth, kind of the same way. There's like super creepy guys out to F with Green Arrow, almost like in Batman. There's super creepy guys off to screw with all the Bat characters. All these series I enjoyed. I like the first shots. I've got, I think, issue 3 coming, and I got to decide if I'm going to go beyond in issue 4. The one I did not like was the Green Lantern Rebirth. And this is the Green Lantern where they're dealing with the two new people. And again, Rage, which I always thought was boring. So you got four people that I'm really bored with, the Red Rangers and two Lanterns that I have no idea who they are or what they're doing. So of all the rebirths, this is the first one that'll fail. The other ones I'll probably stick with, although I am interested now in the Hal Jordan one, which hasn't shipped yet. So I'm kind of curious to see where he's going with it. And of course, they're alluding to something like, why is it that Earth has so many Green Lanterns? Well, they're evidently sometime in the next 2 years are going to address this. But I think as long as the books stay $2.99, I'm more than willing to give DC more a chance. If they start pumping the price up, let's just say I don't collect any Avengers or X-Men titles. So watch it, DC.
I bought a bunch of $3 comics.
What'd you get?
Marvel announced a while back that they were bringing back the imprint Timely.
Ah.
And what it would be the first three issues printed as a comic for $3 of a bunch of their all new Marvel Now, or all new and different Marvel Now, or all now Marvel different new, or all different
new Marvel.
And but in my box day, I got a whole big stack of them.
I did too.
Now, the good thing is that most of these have already shown up, at least one or two issues, on Marvel Unlimited. But this is a great package. It's the first three issues, no ads, on nice paper for $3. And if Marvel does this, one of the reasons I picked it up, not just because, hey, you know, it'll be nice to have these, and, you know, while I'm reading the Unlimiteds, there are some series that I really like, so I'm just buying the trades, such as The Vision. But this is another way to kind of, you know, for a cheap price, get a good sampler of these. And we talked about for the show, loaning these over to Jen Wicked and having her just kind of pick and choose what ones she'd want to read. But what a cool package. What a cool idea. The problem is some of the books that they're putting out in this have already been canceled. I'm looking at you, Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. But I really like the package, and I hope Marvel continues to do this, because the $1 first issues are cool and all, but this for $3, getting a big chunk of comic, I can see people who wouldn't normally buy a book pick up one of these just to give it a try.
Yeah.
Just to see what's going on.
That'll be probably next week's rundown, because I thought I'd do the rebirths this week. I got a bunch as well, too, mostly titles that I didn't read or that I thought I'd try. And I did notice, though, that the last batch of Timelies were all, like, $1 single-issue books.
Oh, that.
And so
I know that the first batch they did were all...
Last month I looked at a bunch and I saw the price was lower, but I also saw they said they, at least the way they were written, looked like they were only doing a single issue. And I thought, well, I don't really care for that.
Huh,
mostly,
I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, check it out. Most of these I'm picking up. Like the Rebirths I picked up, other than Discount having a good price, just so we talk a little bit about them. I mean, I've been hard on DC over the last couple years, and I figure, you know what, I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is and at least give it a try. And so far they're batting pretty good, with the exception of, like I said, the Green Arrow, or I'm sorry, the Green Lantern. I actually, I'm enjoying most of these.
I don't know where you saw that. I am looking now. Marvel has only solicited one batch of them.
Maybe it was True Believers, because there was another batch.
True Believers is the dollar one.
Yeah, because there was one where I was looking at these going, oh, cool, I'll pick these up. And then I saw, oh, they're only doing a single issue. And a lot of times in the
middle. Yes,
True
Believers are one issue for a dollar. Timely, they just put out one batch, and it was solicited back in March.
I do like...
And it's Invincible Iron Man, All New, All Different Avengers, All New Inhumans, Carnage, Daredevil, Drax, Doctor Strange, Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, New Avengers, Scarlet Witch, Squadron Supreme, Totally Awesome Hulk, Ultimates, Uncanny Inhumans, Venom, Space Knight, and Web Warriors.
You see, with the exception of a few that I already buy, like Doctor Strange or ones that I tried, the aforementioned Moon Girl, I did pick up one of all of them just because I thought, you know, I'll give it a quick shot. And, you know, the Ultimates is the only one so far that I will probably pick up in book form just because I kind of like where they're going with it.
Scarlet Witch was really good.
I get Scarlet Witch, so I didn't.
Okay.
That's one of the. Again, if I get it, I wouldn't pick it up again.
But I really liked Scarlet Witch.
Besides, next year on eBay, I'll just be selling them. So what the hell?
And you know, Drax is a book I'm picking up as trades anyway because it's written by future MMA loser CM Punk.
I hope so. There was a couple issues, 8 and 9, that didn't have his name in the credits. So.
Oh,
I don't.
Well, that's. I know he is. I know he was severely injured a few months ago, but they have listened. They have listed that he will be in UFC 203. So that's, I think, 3 months from now is his first fight, and probably his last because he'll probably get pounded into the ground.
Could be.
I love
remember,
him.
Remember Brock Lesnar? He got a submission hold on his first run.
Yeah. And Lesnar was much younger than Punk when he jumped in. Now, I'm not an MMA guy, but I'm going to be interested to see what happens on Saturday with Lesnar back in the octagon. Because if he loses, what does that mean in the WWE? Because in the WWE, you know, he's this unbeatable monster. Well, if he goes into UFC and gets beat by this guy nobody's heard of, are they still going to be able to sell him as this, you know, unbeatable monster? Or will people, you know, or will they be chanting, you tapped out, during his match?
Or maybe Goldberg will come back.
No. I think Goldberg will come back before Goldberg. But we're not here to talk about the wrestling.
No.
You know who else doesn't talk about the wrestling, Joe?
Who's that?
These guys, our sponsors.
Yes, here at Solitaire Rose Networks, we have ads. That's right, we have ads. Just like every other podcast. Come on, it's okay. Our first advertiser is our longest running advertiser, and that's DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best bar none web host all over the interwebs. You could go to other web hosts. You could go to the ones that have big ads on TV and everything, and they're not going to give you the service, the dependability, and the reliability of DreamHost. Head on over to DreamHost.com, use the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, and get $20 off your first year of web hosting. Another of our sponsors is Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club has great blades at low prices, and let's face it, you gotta shave. Head over to shaved.by/C19DC, get you some blades, they're wonderful, I use them, I use all of our sponsors. Matter of fact, head on over to crazycomics.com. Over on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see all of our sponsors. Bombas, Grays, Flaviar, Dollar Shave Club, and DreamHost. If you would like to advertise on any of the podcasts in the Solitaire Rose Network, you can. Just email solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, subject advertising.
And after we finish up with the sponsors, we ask Joe, what's going on the eBays?
You know what pisses me off above all other things on eBay?
I know that black-covered comics piss you off, but I don't know what pisses you off.
You know, and it pisses my daughter off, too, because she borrowed out some of her comics to some friends, and they came back.
And they came back with fingerprints.
Yeah, and she said, I hate that. And I said, that's why I don't borrow out my shiny black comic books.
That's why you give people cloth gloves to read your comics.
Now, as I'm doing eBay's, of course, as we've talked about in the past, is trying to be Amazon. It's a little too late, but they're doing. So what they do is they kind of push you into certain things. Like, you know, it would really be swell, and we'll give you top status if you offer a 90-day return policy. Okay. You know, it would be even sweller, and we'll give you top-rated eBay status if you offer a 30-day return policy. Fine. So I have a return policy. I mean, in all the books I've done in the last 2-3 years, I think I've had maybe one request for a return. And it was a book a guy bought for a buck. And I said, you know what? Keep it. I don't care. It's one of those books. But I just had one go out. And, of course, we may lose a listener over this because I'm a little peeved at this particular pinhead. I sent out the order, and when he got it, it was either damaged, I don't know, or not to his grading specifics. I usually mark things near mint unless I know there's a visible flaw that I see. I don't get in pissing matches over, well, you know, this is a 9.0 and you had it a 9.2 and I think of it, oh, stuff it, buddy. I picked it up off the goddamn newsstand, stuffed it in a comic box for 5 years, put it together and threw it on eBay. Even now my rebirths are just sitting there on my printer where they'll probably sit until I remove them for next week's show. You know, I'm not a guy that goes bug nuts over condition. I used to be that way. So fine, you get something you don't like, ask for a return, and then of course, you gotta give me that little zing. You should learn to grade better. Well, you should go yourself, okay? I mean, you don't have to insult when you want to return something. Unless you're that type of peon that gets your rocks off pissing off minimum wage people as you go to Arby's or Walmarts or Targets or whatever. You know, if you don't like it, return it. Just keep your mouth shut. I don't ask why you want to return something. I just take it. So, fine. I sent out a return, and I'm like, you don't have to be insulting. Just ask. And again, if you're the listener that did it, sorry, Corey. Bugger off.
Wasn't me.
I know it wasn't you. I'd have walked yours over to your house. Well, maybe not. I don't have $100. Other than that, I've got a bunch of cool stuff on eBay. I just sold a bunch of fun stuff. I had a 1/18 size Grease Lightning car that went out. I picked it up for my daughters years ago when I was down in Iowa.
Grease Lightning, over another quarter of a mile. Grease Lightning.
Nope, it was,
that's how you know Jen's not on the show.
Yeah, because she hates that stuff.
She just doesn't like us singing, especially when I go into the Elvis voice.
Oh, thank you. Can you do a monkey's voice?
I cannot do a monkey's voice because my register is so low. Remember, I'm the guy who got down in New Orleans, got mistaken for the lead singer of the Crash Test Dummies because I was able to go, once there was this girl who... And they were like, oh my God, it's him.
Ooh, why not? Is there free drinks involved? No, thanks.
Oh, yes. I drank free on Bourbon Street that whole night.
Man.
And my hotel was just right around, it was one block over.
Mm-hmm.
So I was drinking free beers all night and stumbled back to my hotel room and just collapsed on the bed.
Outstanding.
I need to go to New Orleans.
The reason I asked monkeys because I put something online that sold instantly, and it was a Johnny Lightning 2-pack that had the Monkey Mobile, a VW van with the monkey's logo on it, and 4 little plastic monkey figures. And I thought about really hanging on to them because it was really cool, but, you know, it took up room, and if I was never going to open it, then I could get $30 for it. I sold it. So, again, KRAYZ, unless you're that pinhead who wants to insult me with a return, let me know it's you, and I'll toss in something free from my vast accumulation of crap. Who knows? It might even be these two Green Lantern Rebirths, which I still got issues 2 coming, but I doubt I'll order issue 3. That's kind of where I'm at now with the previews. I got to decide which Rebirth issues I want to keep going and which ones I decide I'm going to drop.
Now, I have projects to talk about.
Ooh, cool.
I know, it's really cool. If you head on over to Worldwide News.
Hang on, Worldwide Nudes. Oh.
.solitairerose.com.
Ooh, oh. Oh, now, never mind.
You'll see that the Worldwide News comic strip by myself and Dangerous Dan Moore has fired up again. He's doing it once a week, but soon he'll be doing it twice a week. I have given him scripts for up to the election. So I already know who's going to win.
Cool.
And if you go to LionCon in St. Cloud, we will be autographing the first volume of Worldwide News, the book. It's not just the strips, because, hey, you can read those online. Why pay for those? Nope. You get commentary. You get an introduction. You get a biography of both Dan and I. It's packed with extras. It's like buying the Criterion DVD version of our comic strip.
Neat.
So there you go, kids. And now, my favorite part of the show. No, not Jin blowing up a balloon. It's freaking a geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
We don't have Jin here blowing up a balloon. Now, with all these fun-filled con appearances, I won't be able to make anything that happens on a Saturday. Unless I, you know, do something dastardly, like calling in sick. Because I...
Dastardly?
Yeah. See, the problem, the fun part about being at TSA is not only are we understaffed, but we're continuing that downward spiral. In the last 3 months, 25 people have been let go because of these damnable tests that they foster upon us. While people in Washington and high above us are getting $10,000 bonuses and being shunted about and allowed to resign, just at my airport alone, they're firing people because they can't pass tests. And we've had people quit because they've just tired of the bullshit. We've had people retire. Either way, we're 25 people down. Fortunately, we had a class of 25 people coming in to replace those people. Other than the fact they won't get trained till probably the end of September, maybe. I mean, it takes about 2 months to get fully trained. You know how many of those people out of 25 stayed?
Four.
Close. Three.
Yeah.
So we're basically in a position where we cannot hire people fast enough to get people who are leaving. Yet the pinheads at TSA, and I'm going to borrow that one from David Letterman, they somehow figured, well, you know, if we hire a bunch of people part-time, no, sorry, guys, the economy is improving. They're not going to put up with that level of bullshit for a part-time job when they can go elsewhere. Most of the people are people like me that... I got nowhere else to go. Or they're young people who are just coming in and they're either jumping to somewhere else in the government or they're just quitting and going somewhere else. So, yeah, it's going to get worse before it gets better. So,
I know nothing about that sort of thing, he said, no. Knowing that two people at the group home quit over the weekend.
Yeah. And you know, people are like, oh, you shouldn't be saying that. I said, you know what? I don't really care anymore. But on the other freaking, a comic freaking.
What?
I know. I was reading a bunch of number ones in anticipation of this year's podcast. And the first one I got of the brand new Hanna-Barbera line, Wacky Raceland. Don't like it. A couple problems I have with it. First of all, they're going for the Mad Max feel, which is...
Yeah.
Okay, but Mad Max is a moving movie visual, not a comic book visual. It makes the art clutter, real complicated to read. There's a huge backstory because, you know, it takes you a while because you got to kind of figure out who's who. Other than the fact Penelope's pretty easy to spot because she's the only blonde in pink, well, you know, comic book pink leotard. And Dick Dastardly kind of hits you over the head because Muttley's right next to him. The rest of the characters I had to go... Oh, that must be the Anthill Mob. And the guy with the bear head, I don't quite understand. And, of course, the narrator is some super secret guy that's forcing these guys to race during an apocalyptic thing. The cars are sentient, and I have no idea who the hell. This has got to be a Jim Lee work, because he's doing the same thing he did when he was at Image. Here's a bunch of people you don't know, and they're doing stuff you don't know why, and you don't understand what, but by God, we want you to pay $3.99 for it. No thanks. I mean, I have probably the next two issues ordered, but of the new Hanna-Barbera line, the Wacky Raceland is just something I'm not into. And again, I'm willing to give it a try, but nope. Corey, what are you freaking on? What's got you down?
Looking at the previews, I see that one of my favorite books is canceled. Art Ops is ending with issue 12, Art Ops, which is drawn by friend of the show Matt Brundage and friend of the show Mike Allred. Ending with issue 12, now it does mean that there will be two trades of it, but it also means that we're not going to get to see all of the wonderful stuff that will be coming out. I also do not see any creepy or eerie reprints from Dark Horse, and this is the month that one of those should have come out. Not there. I wonder if they're slowing down now that they're getting toward the end of the runs of both of those magazines. But the other high-dollar reprint series that I am buying, they canceled the Volume 11 and have not resolicited yet. Crime Does Not Pay. The 10 volumes have come out. They solicited number 11, and they very quietly said that number 11 is not coming out at this time. I can't imagine that sales on it were all that great. So it could be that the numbers came in and they went, oh, yeah, we're not going to be able to afford to keep doing that. Kind of like what happened over at Fantagraphics with Dennis the Menace. They got the rights to reprint the Dennis the Menace comic and did, I think, either 5 or 6 volumes, solicited another one, and the sales were so low that they couldn't afford to print it, so they just quietly canceled it and let it fade away. One of the things about these reprints of classic work is you know the audience is going to be limited. So I wonder if it's shops saying, you know, we've already got a bunch of these on the shelves or they haven't sold. But when I go to comic shops, I don't see complete runs of Creepy and Eerie. I don't see runs of Crime Does Not Pay. So I'm wondering if they're just buying to order and then the rest of them are selling on Amazon. That could very well be.
Are they selling cheaper on Amazon? Because that's usually a death knell.
No cheaper than normal. They get the normal Amazon discount.
See, because I used to, that was always something in my store. And again, I did it with the EC reprints. I always wanted them there. I wanted the Masterpiece. I wanted the big DC hardcovers. Sure, I might sell one occasionally, but, you know, when I did, most of the time you buy that stuff at a pretty decent markup, so you made quite a bit of money on it. Plus, when people saw they were there, they knew they could come back and get them.
Yes.
Nowadays, if I had a run like that, they'd probably be on Amazon, because I suspect a lot of those have really gone up in price as they eventually fall out of print.
I know that the Masterworks, before they brought the Masterworks line back, some of those first print Masterworks were selling for scary amounts of money.
Or being asked but, whether they're selling is another matter.
But I know that with the Essentials, the later ones, you know, they didn't print a lot for a warehouse, so like the Warlock Essential is nearly $100 now. Whereas, you want the Warlock Masterwork, it's $75. So the hardcover in color is cheaper than the Essential. Why? Because the Essential went out of print so fast. Mm. And the other thing is that when I went to Big Brain, he's been doing a half-price sale for over 2 months. And he still had tons and tons and tons and tons of books, which, I'm sorry, it tells me that he has a bunch of stuff that nobody wants. Even the bottom feeders like me didn't want it. And it wasn't just the weird, quirky stuff that wasn't selling. I mean, it was your mainline Marvel, your mainline DC that he had two and three copies of. You know, your Spider-Man were sold out, your X-Men were sold out, your Avengers were still kind of there, your second-tier superhero stuff was there, there was a lot of Batman, a whole lot of Superman. And in a way, I wonder if the trade paperback graphic novel market may be a bit saturated at this time, because sales in shops don't seem to be doing all that well. This is just speculation. But I remember when if a shop did half price on trade paperbacks, you'd come in after a week and they'd be, you know, oh, look, there's characters nobody cares about or books that people have forgotten. But they're just, I don't know, there doesn't seem to be a lot of buzz right now about trade paperbacks.
No, it could be a lot of it's going digital or a lot of it's going crazy, like you said. It's either super, super rare, valuable, hard, never to see, or it's...
Yeah, who cares? Rare non-comics geeking. I mean, freaking. Jody, you probably don't use Instagram.
No, well, I signed up for it, but I found it boring, so I don't.
Instagram is kind of like Twitter, except it's pictures, and you can tweak the pictures and do stuff with them. And there are things I really liked about Instagram. You know, it's basically like Facebook, except just pictures. There were a lot of artists who were putting up work that was either complete or in process. But they changed their algorithm lately, and there are a lot more ads on it. And a lot of the ads are video, so you'll be scrolling down, and all of a sudden Instagram will lock up, because this ad for Tide is loading. And then once it's done loading, it's okay, I can scroll. But before I can scroll, I have to watch this goddamn ad for Tide. It also, if you haven't liked someone's work pictures lately, you see them less and less, to the point where you're like, oh, is this person still on Instagram? Oh, look, they posted all these pictures that I don't get to see anymore. And it almost makes you think that you need to click like on everything. And it's just like Twitter. It's just like Facebook. Come on. We just want the stuff in time order. When did they post it? Boom, 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 boom. Don't try to make it so the stuff that I like more is going to show up more. Because who knows, maybe this person was on a vacation and they took a bunch of pictures of the beach and they were boring and I didn't care, so I didn't like them. That doesn't mean I don't want to see when they get home and they're taking pictures of the art they're drawing.
Facebook actually announced they're changing their algorithms again, or I should say.
Aren't they always
still
changing it?
But to the chagrin of the advertisers, because people have been complaining that they get on their Facebook and all they got are ads for non-people, so they're kind of shifting back towards your friends. So if you like your friends, the friends you like, you'll see more often than perhaps ads for Tide, which you liked once because, hey, you like Tide, you know?
Or, you know, hey, if you like us on Facebook, you get a $3 coupon.
Sure,
okay,
why
fine,
not? Hey, okay, I like $3.
The one thing Facebook's been doing that's pissing me off lately, if you look at it on your phone, not so much on the computer because I use a really good ad blocker on my computer, but on your phone, I really like the movie Twin Peaks. I like the show. I like the show Twin Peaks. I like the stuff that David Lynch does. I swear I get at least 5 or 6 ads for some knockoff illegal T-shirt for Twin Peaks. And it's, oh, that looks like a cool T-shirt. You click on it, and it's sent from China. Oh, yeah, it's a knockoff, and you know the creator of that property isn't going to get anything. I'm not going to pay $20 for a knockoff T-shirt where the creator gets nothing. But they buy ads on Facebook. And what it is, they look at the stuff you like, the media stuff you like, and they go, oh, okay, here's shitty T-shirts based on that. And I swear, if I get any more ads for T-shirts for, like, there's nothing like being a Strode who went to Western Illinois University. It's like, oh, my God, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. And then the last thing I am freaking on is a scientific principle today, Joe.
Oh, it's the 11 things that DC Comics taught us about KFC's multidimensional Colonel Sanders?
No.
Oh, that was my guess.
We are evolutionized beings. We are beings that evolved and did very well in evolution. And I'm going to give you a scientific principle, Joe. Let's say that you are a small mammal. You got that in your head?
I'm sorry, I'm still working on KFC. He's trying to find the missing pieces of his secreted recipe as he goes throughout the multiverse to recollect them. Okay, I'm back. Small mammal.
All right. Now, as a small mammal...
Like a chicken.
That's not a mammal.
Okay, sorry, I'm still not with you.
Okay. Okay. You're a small mammal, and you see a rustle in the grass.
It's probably Colonel Arya Sanders of Earth 11.
Now, it could be just the wind, or it could be a predator.
Or it could be Detective Colonel Hardland Sanders from Gotham City Police Force.
Now, let's go with one. You think it's a predator, and you decide to run and hide. Whether it's the wind in the grass or a predator, you are safe.
Unless it's Colin L. from Earth 22.
But anyway, a negative result does not harm you. Therefore, you evolve and your genetics are passed on.
Kind of like Colonel Lad of the 31st century.
Conversely, you're an animal, you're that same animal, and you see the rustle, and you go, oh, it's just the wind. If you're right, you're okay. If you're wrong, you're eaten.
By Bizarro Colonel Sanders from Earth 29, we am finger-licking bad.
What this means is, for millions of years, the genes of the scared animal that thinks that no matter what that is, it's dangerous, those genes get passed on.
To the all-star colonel.
Which is why so many people believe bullshit.
Or eat at Popeyes.
And I am dealing with too many people who believe bullshit. Well, I read it on the internet and it must be true. No, it's not. You look it up. Nope, I believe it. Or, people who, in dealing with other people, well, I think that he's blah, 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 blah. Well, did you ask? Nope, but I believe it.
Just like Colonel Grodd.
So, I am dealing in my personal and professional life with the little creature that thinks that the sound in the grass is danger, no matter what it is.
Here's a hint.
And I don't have the patience to be dealing with bullshit during a political season, so when people come up to me and will say, well, you know, the FBI is in the pocket of big money, and big money wants Hillary to be president, it sounds like the sped-up aliens in Star Trek. When they start talking like that, this is what I hear. Donald Trump's in the pocket of the Illuminati. I just want this election to be over and everyone to shut up.
And at my KFC, the K stands for Krypton.
Geeking, Joe. What are you geeking on?
Oh, I'm just way gone, let me tell you.
Other than Kentucky Fried Chicken comic
KFC books. Right about now. I had me kind of a retro read moment because I just, for some reason, wanted to read Sandman Seasons of the Mist, which was the first Sandman that I read, and it's a great Sandman to start with because it kind of gets you running on the ground floor because the first issue, you get introduced to everybody. And this was the not-so-rare leather-bound edition that was, I think, the first Sandman book printed.
No, they did trade paperbacks.
Well, that's
first.
Right. They did this
and
three,
then
and then a
did
hardcase, and then did this hardcover, which doesn't match any other hardcover, although it does have the Key to Hell on it, and it is pretty sweet-looking. So I enjoyed
the heck out of this. Do you have that book with you right now?
I does.
Could you open it up and tell me if it was printed by either DC or Graffiti? Graffiti.
Take a look here. Blah, 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 blah.
Because it sounds like a deluxe book, and Graffiti was the one who published all of DC's deluxe books there for a while.
Nope, this one is Spouting DC.
Okay. Because if you remember right, the first Dark Knight hardcover, the limited hardcover that everybody lost their minds about, was published by Graffiti Press.
It even has an introduction by Harlan Ellison.
Ooh.
This is fun stuff. Ooh. So, had me a little flashback. I did read some new stuff, though. I hate Fairyland, number 6. Brilliant. Doctor Strange, number 9, The Last Days of Magic, part 4, soon to be finished. Keiju Max from Xander Cannon, which I absolutely, absolutely love. Scooby-Doo Apocalypse, I'm still on the fence about. They're just not likable. You know, if you're not going to make a likable character, what's the point? Corey, you want to move over just a bit? Ugh. I got me a ton of hardcovers in my pocket. I haven't read any of these, and although I make it usually my policy not to talk about a book till I read it, I just got a geek on some of this. Like, I mean, you're talking, I showed this to my girls, how to talk to girls at parties, and they're like, yeah, yeah. And then I uncovered my thumb where I had the name Neil Gaiman covered up, and then they're like, oh, I got to read it now. On a less cheerful note, I've got Dark Knight, a true Batman story, an original graphic novel from Paul Dini.
Yes.
Eduardo Risso, talking about in walking home one evening, Dini was jumped and viciously beating. This is true. With several broken bones and a shattered face, he experienced an arduous recovery process hampered by the imagined antics of the villains he was writing for television, including the Joker, Harley Quinn, and the Penguin. And this book kind of covers his struggle to overcome a truly desperate situation. A Batman story like no other, still bound and shrink wrapped, and when I read it, I will come back with a more on it. Got me another Omnibuy, The Silver Age Supergirl. Because, you know, I like my Silver Age Supergirl. And I'm pretty sure I've got these in the showcase version, but to have it just in an Omnibuy and in color, oh. Plus, it has a really cool Darwin Cook cover on it. So, very, very fun stuff. And I also got me another Omnibuy, which I'm sure Corey's going to geek on. The Hands of Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu.
Yes.
Oh, I can't wait to cut this baby open and read it.
I got to be a little blunt here. This is one of the smallest omnibuses they've put out. And for $125, I was very disappointed because you've got Werewolf by Night, which costs the same, is double the size.
Yeah, the Man-Thing one, same thing. It's huge, but it's cover. You know what
but
I mean?
I'm wondering.
You think they paid a little bit more because of the copyright
issue?
I
think they had to pay extra for the rights to Fu Manchu, which is why they didn't do trade paperbacks or anything else. They did omnibuses. However, what I am going to be doing with this book, much like I did with Jack Kirby and much like I'm trying to do with EC, as I read this, I want to podcast about it because this was, even when I was 11, 12, 13, 14 years old, this was a book that people talked about as being one of the best comics printed. Not just best superhero books, but one of the best comics printed. And for a comic that was put in place to kind of ride the Kung Fu movie wave, that's amazing, the level of quality that the book had. And I want to go into why it was so good, what the different stories were, and why this comic was so important in the 70s. So, Joe, when you're reading it, why don't you and I just kind of do special Solitaire Rose Radios on it?
I get to be a guest on your podcast?
Yeah!
Woohoo! Okay, I suppose. And, of course, I talked a bit about a book that I picked up at Big Brain Comic that I just, my brain imploded when I found it. I've talked a while back about, I believe his name is Jason Youngbluth, Weapon Brown. It was a four-issue series, well, actually, I should say four-chapter series in his comic called Deep Fried. And basically, you'll probably recognize it because it's the tale of a round-headed kid who grows up to be a cyborg soldier in a post-nuke world accompanied by his weird dog. And the four-parter was called A Peanut Scorn. Well, this is here is his Weapon Brown omnibus, and it goes on a lot farther than just the four issues. Not only does it include an impossibly long nine chapter program, but a bunch of one-shot little ones that he did in various strips around, and it is freaking outrageously cool. The Peanut Scorn four-parter in Deep Fried, I've pulled up every so often, and I know at least two times on the podcast from the beginning. Check it out, folks. I geeked about it. Just, oh, I pulled these out. It was so cool. But to have an entire graphic novel of this, I mean, I was basically just kind of wandering through thinking, you know, I'd like to buy this, and I'd like to buy this, and I... Weapon Brown. Oh, yeah. And what's cool about it is as Weapon Brown runs across the apocalyptic area, he's running from the Syndicate, and you have to watch in the background all the different characters, because some of them you just may have seen in different comic strips, like Cal, you know, apparently the weapon that can out-weaponize Weapon Brown. He comes with his stuffed tiger, of course. And over here we got someone. Well, let's just say Weapon Brown gets a little bit friendly with a blind girl named Anne. And over here, there's kind of looks like Dilbert, and one of the Syndicate looks like the King of Id. And if you're great with comic strips, or you just like a good post-nuke apocalyptic world, good luck finding this. You can probably find it on eBay, but I got mine at Big Brain. Oh, I'm sorry. Corey, what are you geeking on? What's got you up and revving? Other than the storms are over, I think.
Well, they're not around me anymore.
Oh, we got rain, but everything else is done.
Over the weekend, it was a three-day weekend. I worked 29 hours. However, 16 of that was what they call sleeping shifts.
Mm.
Now, Joe, does it count as a day off if I put in like 8 to 10 hours before I come home?
Uh-huh.
Because if so, I had 2 days off out of the three-day weekend. I've talked about Saturday, talked a little about Monday, and then Monday night I got a call from the lovely and talented Jen Wicked late saying that she was going to go see fireworks, and she'd really like it if I met me there, even though she told me earlier in the day she wasn't going to see fireworks, and if she did, she wanted to be alone.
And, you know, usually at this time I rate Corey about not inviting me, but at that particular moment I was three sheets to the wind because my sister had brought over a bottle of limoncello from Italy. And if you've never had it, it's frozen liqueur. It's like 28% liquor. And I was over, my daughters were there, my sister, my parents, and my wife's father-in-law. Or my father-in-law had come over earlier. We had a barbecue and they had left. So we just decided to start drinking. And I'd been drinking on and off the day, but as soon as I had some of this, it hit me. And I felt good. And we were like, oh, this is crazy. I bring this bottle over and it's almost gone. And I said, well, if the world ends tomorrow, and it might, we're going to really feel bad that we didn't polish off this limoncello. So we did it until it was gone, and then we attacked the bottle of vodka, that like $55 bottle of vodka that my wife's boss gave her as a thank you for something, and we finished that off. And
and also, it was all the way over in Excelsior.
Yeah, because originally you talked about coming to St. Paul, but I was like, oh, it was a good fourth. And the best part was when I woke up on Tuesday, other than feeling a bit fuzzy, I didn't have a hangover. So,
oh, well, that's good.
That's always good.
So, but we made it there, and watched fireworks over the lake. And next year I said that we would be on the lake itself. We would figure out some way to be on a boat out in the...
So you get a good chance of being one of the few that got arrested over the weekend.
I don't drink, and I probably wouldn't be the one piloting the boat, so why would I get arrested?
If you're on the boat, you're guilty.
Oh, okay.
Just like you were guilty. You were alive in 1986 when Howard the Duck was released. You're guilty.
But I didn't
see it. I don't
want to
hear it.
Fine. Box Day came on Friday, whereas lately it's been late and slow and blah, 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 and we've talked a lot about it, but I actually had a lot of time this weekend to just sit and read comics, which I have not had time to do in a long time. I also got completely caught up on New Japan Pro Wrestling. The station Access, AXS, has been showing New Japan Pro Wrestling. They normally would do an hour, but lately they've been showing two episodes back-to-back, so you get 2 hours of New Japan every week, and I was about 3 weeks behind. Good old JR is doing the commentary. Boy, I missed him. He's really good at the commentary. We've talked a lot about the comics I read, but there was a podcast that dropped last Thursday.
Hang on.
That if you are a wrestling fan, you need to go listen to. Thursday's episode of Jim Cornette's podcast, where he let loose on Vince Russo. And before it came out, he messaged the people at PWInsider.com and said, the last 40 minutes of this is the best promo I've ever cut. And Joe, you know Jim Cornette. You know about the promos he's cut. You know how good he is on the microphone.
Oh, yeah.
It's more like the last hour. He spends it eviscerating Vince Russo, ripping him to pieces, and not just, you know, he's a jerk, but pointing out all of the things he did, all the backbiting, all the pitting people against each other, all of the stuff that Cornette had to do to fix the work that he was doing and then get blamed for all the errors, on and on and on. And normally, I try to be a positive person. But, oh, my God, this was hilarious and mean and brutal and informative, and I could not have loved it more. Even if you're not a pro wrestling fan, you might enjoy somebody systematically tearing a jerk that they had to work with apart verbally. It was very, very cool. And other than that, I actually got enough sleep over the weekend. I got to watch some TV this weekend. Joe, is this what people normally do with days off?
I don't know, eBay.
Oh, okay. Well, believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about funny books for an hour and a half. And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
Don't kill if you can wound. Don't wound if you can subdue. Don't subdue if you can pacify. And don't raise your hand at all until you've first extended it. Wonder Woman.
Boy, that'd make for a boring comic.
I don't know. If her cleavage is deep enough, who cares? Corey! Hit,
yes?
Hit Jin's music.
We're going to dance. We're going to dance. We're going to dance. And have some fun.
Another fine podcast from Solitaire Rose Networks.
The end.